Yom Kippur is only a few days away, and a thought popped into my head, a thought relating to the end of Yom Kippur, which, as I thought about it more and more, it hit me like a ton of bricks, that it's really striking. Let me explain. Towards the end of Yom Kippur, Mincha and Ne'ilah, we are overtly and covertly introduced to two stories in Tanakh about Tshuva. We are overtly taught at Mincha the story of Yonah and Nineveh. Yonah is sent on a mission to go to Nineveh and to tell the people to do tshuva. And really, there's a tshuva process for Yonah himself. Yonah tries to run away, which itself is a lesson. Yonah goes to the boat. He gets thrown off the boat. He gets swallowed. He gets spit out. He goes to Nineveh. And then Hashem describes to him that Nineveh does tshuva. They do a sincere tshuva. And they're saved. And then Hashem describes to Yonah with his kikayon, with his tree, that, you know, when you put effort into something, you want it to last, you want it to stay. And we're a very clear message of the power of tshuva, the power of meaningful change. That's the story of Yonah. That's Mincha. And then we return, then we go to Ne'ilah. And at the very end of Ne'ilah, the pinnacle of Ne'ilah is the recitation at the very end. We say Shema Yisrael Baruch Shem Kvod Machsol Olam Vaed. We understand. We say Shema. That's our rallying cry. Our bumper sticker is Yichud Hashem Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. And then we go into seven times Hashem Hu HaElokim. On a simple surface level, it makes a lot of sense. Hashem Hu HaElokim. We're declaring at the very end of Yom Kippur, where we're shrying, we're yelling, Hashem is the King, Hashem Hu Elokim, Hashem is the God. Okay, I understand. Rabbi Saul Reisman, Shlita, I've heard him say this on different occasions, points out that, you know, when you read those words, in order to appreciate them, you have to appreciate the context within which they were said. And that is kind of what got the ball rolling to my revelation. And here it is. Rabbi Reisman points out that the words Hashem Hu Elokim come from the story of Eliyahu Bahar HaKarmel. It's Malachim Aleph, Perek Yud Ches, where Achav and Izebel, the wicked king and queen, they have the Nevi'ei HaBaal pitted against Eliyahu HaNavi in a showdown. Each of them is going to bring a korban, put it on their mizbeach. They're not going to bring a fire. They're going to pray. And whoever has a fire come down from heaven and burn the korban, they are the correct ones. And Eliyahu HaNavi gives Musar that the people are an Masai temposkim al shnei se'ipim, that they're kind of, they have to choose sides. You can't be jump on the bandwagon of whoever's winning. So Eliyahu HaNavi tells them that they have to make a decision and they have to join a team. And the way the story plays out, the Nevi'ei HaBaal go first and they bring their korban. They actually send somebody underneath to try to light the fire. It doesn't work out. He gets bitten by a snake. And they light their they bring their korban, they put it on their mizbeach, and nothing happens. They pray, they wail, they cry. They're davening to the wrong God, obviously. Eliyahu HaNavi comes, he pours water all over the place to show that Hashem is in charge, he can bring fire, water is not going to get in the way of Hashem. He created the water, he created the fire. And then he davens to the Ribbono Shel Olam, a sincere tefillah, and the Ribbono Shel Olam makes a nes, and he sends a fire down from Shemayim, and it consumes the korban. And very clear that Hashem, Team Hashem, with Eliyahu HaNavi at the helm as captain of the team, they win. And then at the end, the pasuk says, "Vayar kol ha'am vayiplu al pneihem." This is pasuk lamites. The people saw; they fell on their faces. Vayomru, Hashem hu alokim, Hashem hu alokim. So we're declaring Hashem is the winner. Hashem is the God, is the true God, and that's what we say at the end of Yom Kippur. That's how we end off, and it seems so appropriate and so fitting. But here's the irony. This is what Rabbi Reisman pointed out. If you look, there's a few more psukim. The clouds are not there yet. They go back and they check, and finally the clouds come and it starts to rain. And the parak ends a few psukim later, and then we go to Perak Yutes. All of a sudden, Perak Yutes, Achav and Izebel all of a sudden are very upset at Eliyahu HaNavi because Eliyahu had killed all the Nevi'i HaBaal, and now they're very upset. You're a murderer. You killed the Nevi'i HaBaal. We are going to kill you. And Eliyahu HaNavi has to run for his life. Now, you would think he's got all the people on his side. So what does it matter that the king wants him? He's got all these... And what does the Navi describe? Perak Yutes Pasuk Gimel, he gets up, Vayar Vayakam Vayelech Al Nafsho Vayavo Be'er Sheva Sher Yehuda Vayanach Ez Na'aro Sham. He left his servant there. His servant. He was traveling with one person. He was the conquering hero 10 psukim earlier. And all of a sudden, he's running for his life and he was abandoned completely. What happened to all those people that said, Hashem Hu Elokim, Hashem Hu Elokim? And then he goes, he leaves that one person, and he's all by himself. And he's ready to give up. He's given up despair. He just won. Hashem Hu Elokim, everybody said it with him. Everybody agreed. Everybody did tshuva. That's how we end Yom Kippur. But the story goes on that all those people that were with him at Hashem Elokim, they all fell to the side. Where did they go? It didn't last. And so that's the irony. The irony of Hashem Elokim, but then a few psukim later, all those people that said Hashem Elokim, they're not there to protect Eliyahu. They've left him. They've turned away from their commitment to Hashem Elokim. And then I was thinking about it, and then I realized that that's not the only story where that happens. So we go back to Mincha, go back to the story of Yonah. We read a story of complete tshuva. Vayar Elokim es maaseihem. They put on sack, ashkoth, they fasted. They did all these maisim of tshuva. And they were saved. And then Hashem gives a drasha to Yonah about it, and about how he worked hard for that. There's so many people, a big city of Shnei Masariba, right? 120,000 people. I don't want them to just die, just like you don't want the kikayon to fall apart, to wither. Whew. So, that's all we hear from Yonah. And then we end the Sefer. But there's a rest of the story. There's a Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer. The Medrash says, Rabbi Nechunya, this is Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer, this is Perek Mem Gimel, this is in the middle of the Perek. Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana Omer, Rabbi Nechunya the Tan, Rabbi Nechunya, Teda lecha koach ha-tshuva. You should know, I'm going to teach you the koach of tshuva. Bo ure'e mi paro melch mitzrayim shemarad b'tzur elyon har b'ma'ot, shenemar mi Hashem asher eshma b'kolo, u'b'loshon shechata bo, b'loshon asa tshuva, shenemar mi chamocha b'ilam Hashem, mi chamocha nedav HaKadosh, v'tzilo HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'in ha-meisim, minayin shalom meis, shenemar ki hat, okay. So, we're familiar with this, that according to one opinion, this is the opinion of the Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer, the Medrash, that Paro was the king of Nineveh. What happened? Paro saw what happened in Mitzrayim. He hardened his heart, he didn't do tshuva. He gets to the Yam, he's tossing and turning, and he realizes that Hashem is the right king. Micha mocha b'elam Hashem, and he does tshuva. Hashem saves him, and he goes and he becomes the king of Nineveh. And that's why, when Nineveh was sinning terribly, and Yonah comes and says, you have to do tshuva, the Bikasha, Nineveh should have looked at this guy and said, who are you? I mean, the Navi is full of the Yidden, not listening to Yirmiyahu and Yishai, not listening to the Navi when the Navi says, you got to do tshuva. So what happened that all of a sudden Nineveh, right away, Yonah, we have to do tshuva? Of course. So according to Pirkei Rosa, it makes a lot of sense because the king was Paro. So Paro says, oh, wait, Hashem is telling us to do tshuva? We better listen. I know what happens. You know, when Hashem says he's going to do something, I know what happens. I better listen. So that's the story of how Nineveh does tshuva. And then we go through... And he says he set up a fast, and everybody was fasting, and the man, the women, the children, everybody's doing tshuva, and then Hashem says that there's so many people. Shnei masaribo, shnemar vaniol echos al Nineveh ha'ir agdola, arbom shana herech apo imahem, keneged arbom yom sheshalach es Yonah. Now, the end of that paragraph says something remarkable. That's where the story of Yonah and Nineveh ends. But the Medrash and Pirkei Rabbi Elazar says that there's one more piece to the story which you didn't know. And that is, Ula'achar arboim shana. After 40 years, Shavu l'maaseim haroim. The city of Nineveh went back to their old actions. Harbe min harishonim, and it was even worse than what they had done originally. V'nivlu kimesim b'sha'ol tachta. Shnemar me'ir mesim yinaku. Pasuk in Iyov. They were swallowed into the ground, into the sha'ol, into the depths of the ground. Kimesim, dead people. The city of Nineveh was destroyed. 40 years after they had done a complete tshuva, and it's recorded in Tanakh, L'dorei Doros, they messed up worse than before, and they were wiped off the map. Failed tshuva. We read the story of Yonah, we read the story of Eliyahu b'Har HaKarmel, and we're led to believe that Yonah did this great, he affected this great Maisa Tshuva from Nineveh, and we have to learn from this Maisa of Tshuva, and we have to learn from Yonah, and we have to not run away from Hashem, we can't avoid it. All these beautiful lessons of Tshuva. But the Pirkei Rabbi Elazar says 40 years later, they did worse than they were, and they were completely destroyed. So you want to know the rest of the story of Nineveh is? They did Tshuva, and it was temporary. And then they fell back into their old ways, and it got even worse, and they were wiped off the map. And then what happens with Hashem Hu Elokim? We declared Hashem Hu Elokim, and everybody was on Eliyahu Hanavi's side, everybody joined his team. And what happens? They were nowhere. And all of a sudden, 10 Pesukim later, at the beginning of the next parak, Eliyahu Hanavi standing all alone, running for his life, and wishing he was dead. Striking. Remarkable. At the end of Yom Kippur, the stories that we're taught, the stories that we read about, the way we end Yom Kippur is all about failure to make a permanent change. When you think about it like this, change is everything. Nineveh did tshuva, and they fell back into their old ways. The people at Har HaKarmel, they did tshuva, they declared Hashem Elokim, and then they fell back. But what happened? What version of the story are we told? We're told the beautiful story of tshuva about Nineveh. We're told about the people who joined Team Eliyahu and then said, Hashem Hu Elokim, Hashem Hu Elokim. And so we repeat those words. But we don't talk about what happened after. Why? Why at this moment, when we're declaring our complete and utter commitment to the Ribono Shel Olam, and that we want to be good, and we are going to change. At this very moment, we read stories about people who tried and were sincere and failed to make a permanent change. It's an interesting time to be telling these stories, if you think about it. We could stop here, because I think if you're processing this conflict about why we're reading stories about change that wasn't really a consistent permanent change. There are other stories in Tanakh of permanent change. Even in this parak of Pirkei Rabbi Elazar, parak Mem Gimel, it discusses Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish. Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish was a pirate, and he did tshuva. And the Gemara says that he had two friends, and they came to Shemayim, and Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish goes to Gan Eden, and his two friends go somewhere else. And they come to the Ribono Shel Olam and they say, hey, he was our friend. He did it with us. It's not fair. Why do we get punished, not him? And the Ribono Shel Olam says, because he did tshuva. He changed his ways. He became a tzaddik. He did chesed. He learned Torah. You guys didn't. And they said, okay, fine. We'll do tshuva. And Hashem said, sorry, it's too late. You can only do tshuva while you're alive. There are stories of permanent tshuva. It's not like we lack those permanent tshuva stories. We just chose to use stories of non-permanent tshuva. So I'm sure there's a lot of ways you could play it. I'll tell you my thoughts. Maybe this can be meaningful for you as well. We're standing at the end of Yom Kippur. And we tell stories about failed tshuva. Because each and every one of us is a story of failed tshuva. That's who we are. You say vidui. How many times during the vidui do you think to yourself, didn't I apologize for the same thing last Yom Kippur and the Yom Kippur before? I've been doing this for many years. Saying vidui for the same avera, year after year. And year after year I'm convinced that this is it. I'm done doing this act. And I come back next Yom Kippur. Al-Chit Shechatanu. Oshamnu Bagadnu. The same thing, we come back to the same thing again and again and again. Because we failed in our tshuva. We failed to make a permanent change. We changed. We did a sincere teshuva. But then, something tripped us up. At some point in the year, we fell back. And that's why we came back. You know, they say b'shem Reb Chaim Brisker that a Rebbe's job is not only to teach vashtet means what it says, what the words of Chazal, the words of the Gemara, the words of the Rambam, but also vashtet nisht. That's the job of the Rebbe, vashtet nisht. What did the Rambam not say? And why did he not say it? And what can we learn from the fact that he didn't say it? He didn't say this, he brought this halacha not over here in the same way that the Gemara brings it. He brought it in a different way. Why did he do that? The Gemara chose not to give a very obvious teretz. Why did the Gemara do that? Why did Tosfos do that? That's the job of the Rebbe. To vas shteit nisht. We could all read and we could all translate. Right? You could read the English translation and know exactly what it means. But you can't translate the words that are not there. The Rebbe's job is to teach vas shteit nisht. You know, I was thinking. The Navi knew what happened to Nineveh. The Navi records, the Anshei Knesset Gedolah recorded the story of Yonah HaNavi, Yonah ben Amittai, recorded the story and decided on purpose to leave out the fact that 40 years after the story ended, the entire city was wiped out. On purpose they left it out. They left it out, vashteit nisht. They didn't say it. Because they didn't want that to be part of the story. Because they wanted you to know vashteit nisht. We didn't write that part of the story. Because if we wrote that part of the story, you would think that the story of Yonah is teaching us a lesson. If you're going to try to change and you're going to fail, you're going to get wiped off the map. You're going to get destroyed. And that's what happened to Nineveh. But the Navi wants you to know, bedafka, the story of Navi, of Yonah, as recorded in the Navi, as recorded in Tanakh forever, is only a story about tshuva. It's not about the fact that they fell back into their old ways. They did, and they got punished for it. We also fall back into our old ways. But then we come to a Yom Kippur, and Yom Kippur picks us up. And we come back. Yes, we fell back. But we come right back at it, and we try again. And next year, we try again. The Navi is coming to teach us that a failed tshuva is a tshuva. It is a good tshuva because it is a quality attempt. Because what do we learn from Nineveh? Ask anybody, what do we learn from Nineveh? Vayar Elokim es maaseihem. They did a sincere tshuva. That's a sincere tshuva. They fell back in. Okay, they fell back in. You also fall back in. And that's why on Yom Kippur at Mincha, we're going to read the story. We're going to read the story of Yonah and the story of Nineveh, the tshuva of Nineveh, to remind us, just keep coming back to it. Nineveh left it. Nineveh left, so they got destroyed. But we come back. We read the story of Nineveh. Remember, a sincere tshuva? Don't worry that you're going to fall back. It's okay. Because it's a sincere tshuva, it's a real tshuva. And the fact that you fell back in, that happens. Just keep on coming back, Yom Kippur. Remember the story of Nineveh? Sincere tshuva works, even if you fail. And then at the end of Yom Kippur, the last three words we say on Yom Kippur, Hashem Hu Elokim. We're committed to the Ribono Shel Olam. They fell. Yes, they fell. It's true. They fell. We also fall. But in the tefillah, we choose to end the story right there. To understand that that is a complete story. It's true that later on they fell. But it's a different story. It's a different parak. It's a different story. It's true they fell. And you have to get back on. And keep plugging away. Keep trying to do tshuva. So we remind ourselves at the end, Hashem Hu Elokim. We did a sincere tshuva. And you have a kasha on yourself that in 6 months from now you might fall back. It's okay. Remember, Hashem Elokim, what we choose to focus on is the fact that you came onto the right team. You joined Team Hashem at the end of Yom Kippur and you did a sincere tshuva. As the Rambam says, Yoir Olav Yodea Talumos, that the Ribono Shel Olam knows what a sincere tshuva is. It doesn't say that the Ribono Shel Olam, who knows everything that's going to happen, knows that you will not do this aveira again. That's not what it says. It says, until he knows, Shelo Yoshev L'Chetze HaOlam, like right now where you are, you're not going to do it again. Might you fall? Yeah, you might fall. But that's okay. We choose to focus on the story of Nineveh in the tshuva that they did. We choose to focus on Hashem Elokim, and we end with Hashem Elokim, because that's the end of the story. We end with the tshuva. And we remind ourselves that even if, chas v'shalom, we one day fall back, remember, the sincere tshuva counted. And that's why we leave the rest of the story out. The fact that they fell is not part of our narrative. We also fall, and we also come back on Yom Kippur and say we're sorry for the same things we did then. And that's okay. As long as we recognize Hashem, Hu, HaElokim.